reading from the prayers of Charles Spurgeon and various Puritans and reformers. The Great Sacrifice. God, our Father, we remember well when we were called to you with many sweet and wooing voices, we were bidden to return. You did yourself hang out the lights of mercy that we might know the way home, and your dear Son himself came down to seek us. But we wandered still. It brings the tears to our eyes to think that we should have been so foolish and so wicked, for we often extinguished a light within, and conscience we tried to harden, and we sinned against light and knowledge with a high hand against our God. You have often brought us very low, even to our knees, and we cried for mercy, but we rose to sin again. Blessed was that day when you struck the blow of grace, the effectual blow. Then did you wither up our comeliness, and all our perfection was rolled in the dust. We saw ourselves to be slain by the law, to be lost, ruined, and undone. And then we rolled to and fro in the tempest of our thoughts and staggered like drunken men, and were at our wits' end. Then we cried to you in our trouble, and blessed your name forever, and you delivered us. O happy day that sealed our pardon with the precious blood of Jesus, accepted by faith. We would recall the memory of that blessed season by repeating it. We come again now to the cross whereon the Savior bled. We give another look of faith to him. We trust we never take away our eyes off him. But if we have done so, we would look anew. We would gaze into the body of the Son of God, pierced with nails, parched with thirst, bleeding, dying. Because it pleased the Father to bruise him, he has put him to grief. Lord God, we see in your crucified Son a sacrifice for sin. For we see how you had made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we do over again accept him to be everything to us. This is a victim by whose blood the covenant is made through faith. This is that paschal lamb by the sprinkling of whose blood all Israel is secured. For you have said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is the blood which gives us access into that which is within the veil. This is the blood which now to our souls is drink indeed. And we rejoice in the joy which this new wine of the covenant has given to our spirits. We would take afresh the cup of salvation and call upon your name. We would pay our vows now in the midst of all the Lord's people and in the courts of his house. And this is part payment of our vow that we bless the Lord Jesus, who has put away our sin. We bless him that he has redeemed us to himself, not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with his own precious blood. And we avow ourselves today to be the Lord's. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Lord Jesus, renew your grasp of us. Take us over again, for we do even with greater alacrity than ever before surrender ourselves to you. And so bind the sacrifice with cords, even with cords to the horns of the altar. O Lord, I am your servant, and the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Henceforth, within that rock I hide myself. For him I live. The Lord enable all his people with sincere hearts, with undivided hearts, thus again to give themselves up to Jesus, and do set in them anew the marks and tokens of your possession, till every one of us shall say as many of us can say, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you, O Lord, for that mark to which some of us can look back with much joy. It is not in our hand, or in our forehead, nor on our foot, nor on our heart alone. Our whole body has been buried with Christ in baptism unto death. And now the whole body, soul, and spirit, by our willing consecration, belongs to Christ henceforth and forevermore. Our Father, there is one prayer which has kept rising to our lips, even while we have been thus speaking to you. It comes from our very heart, and it is this: bring others to yourself. Have you not said, O God of Jacob, yet will I gather others to him that have not been gathered? Have you not given to your Son the heathen for his inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession? Lord, give your Son the reward of his travail. Give him a part of that reward to stay wherever he is preached. Oh, that some might be moved with the love of Christ. Lord, some don't know who you are. Convince them of your deity and your power to save. Lord, many of them do not think. They live as if they were to die, and there would be an end of them. O Divine Spirit, convince them of judgment to come. Set before each careless eye that day of terrible pomp, when for every idle word that men shall speak, they must give an account. O Divine Spirit, teach unreasonable men true reason. Teach the obdurate to be sensible. Look upon them, Jesus, just as you did on those of the synagogue, not with anger, but still being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And bring many, many, many this very day to the dear feet that were nailed to the cross. Oh, how we long for it. Deny us what you will, only bring sinners to yourself. Lord Jesus, you are gone from us. We rejoice that this is a fact. For you have taught us that it is expedient for us that you should go, and that the Comforter should be with us. But oh, let us not miss that promised presence of the Comforter. May he be here to help and succor in all works of faith and labors of love. And may we feel that he has come among us and is dwelling with us, because he is convincing the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. O Spirit of God, bring men to accept the great propitiation, to see their sin washed away in the purple flood, whose fount was opened with the heart of Christ, was pierced, and may blood-washed sinners begin to sing on earth that everlasting anthem which shall be sung by all the redeemed in heaven. We beseech thee now, Lord, to look upon all your people and grant everyone a blessing. Some are in great trouble. Deliver them, we pray you. Others may be in great peril, though they have no trouble. The Lord save his people from the evils of prosperity. It may be some of your own people find it hard to worship because of cares. May they be able, like Abraham, when the birds came down upon the sacrifice, to drive them away. O Spirit of God, make us all more holy. Work in us more completely the image of Christ. We do long to be as the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and temper and in unselfishness of life. Give us the character of Christ, we pray. Redemption from the power of sin is purchased with his blood, and we crave for it and pray that we may daily receive it. Let the whole militant church of Christ be blessed. Put power into all faithful ministries. Convert this country. Save it from abounding sin. Let all the nations of the earth know the Lord, but especially bless those nations that speak our own dear mother tongue, where our same Lord in Christ is worshipped this day after the same fashion. The Lord bless his people. Bring the church to break down all bonds of nationality, all limits of sects. And may we feel the blessed unity, which is the very glory of the Church of Christ. Yea, the whole earth be filled with his glory. Our prayer can never cease until we reach this point. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing less than this can we ask for. And now hear us as we pray for the sovereign and all in authority, and ask your blessing to rest upon this land, and let your blessing extend over all the family of man. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. The following prayer is by King Edward VI, the son of King Henry VIII, who only lived to be 16, but in very much in the line of the Puritans and Reformers, and a predecessor of Bloody Mary. O gracious Lord and most merciful Father, who hast from the beginning of mine age hitherto delivered me from innumerable perils and dangers, both of soul and body, I most heartily thank Thee. And yet, for as much as I feel in myself so many faults and imperfections, such readiness to evil and such frowardness and slackness to do good, I quake and tremble for fear of Your fierce wrath and strict judgment. But when I consider with myself that You have commanded me by prayer to crave of Thee all things necessary for soul and body, I conceive a little hope of recovery of that which I stand in need of, and it fully comforts me and makes me not a little joyful when I remember that You, O Father, not only commanded me to pray, but also of Your exceeding great mercy, promises graciously to bear my lamentable suit, and mercifully to grant to me my lawful and needful requests. And my faith, confidence, and sure trust is that You are true and just in all Your words and promises, and You both can and will perform them and grant me my honest petitions. Nevertheless, for all that, I will not presume to ask Him in mine own name, neither for mine own merit nor deserving, but for Christ Jesus' sake, and in His blessed and holy name, and for Your mercy and truth's sake. But touching all those things that pertain to this, my corruptible body and transitory life, I humbly beseech Your fatherly goodness to grant me them, so far as they agree with Your holy will, pleasure, honor, and glory, and may be best suited to my improvement, profit, and advantage. Nevertheless, I beseech You, good Lord, grant me them, not at such time as I fancy to be best, but at such time as shall appear most meet to Thy godly majesty, under whose protection I fully and wholly commit both myself and all mine. Moreover, seeing that You regard no prayer unless it be made in love and charity, I humbly beseech Your gracious goodness that I may always pray in charity, make my petitions and requests in charity, use Your gracious gifts and benefits in charity, and lead all my whole life and conversation in charity. And finally, I heartily pray to You that I may daily, through the assistance of Your Holy Spirit, more and more mortify all my carnal desires and sinful affections, and vouchsafe to prosper both me and mine, and all the Christian congregation, and all our honest and godly affairs. Increase also Your gracious gifts in us, and confirm us and establish us so in grace, that we may go forward in all goodness. Grant this, most merciful Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. So be it. Amen. The following prayer is from a collection of prayers of George Washington, the first president of these United States. The Daily Sacrifice. Almighty God and most merciful Father, who didst command the children of Israel to offer a daily sacrifice to You, that by this they might glorify and praise You for Your protection both night and day, receive, O Lord, my morning sacrifice, which I now offer up to You. I yield You humble and hearty thanks that You have preserved me from the dangers of the past night, and brought me to the light of this day, and the comforts of it, a day which is consecrated to Your own service and for Your own honor. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so affected with the glory and majesty of it, that I may not do mine own works, but wait on You and discharge those weighty duties You require of me. And since thou art a God of pure eyes, and wilt be sanctified in all who draw near unto you, who does not regard the sacrifice of fools, nor hear sinners who tread in your courts, pardon, I beseech you, my sins. Remove them from thy presence as far as the east is from the west, and accept of me for the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, that when I come into your temple and compass thine altar, my prayer may come before you as incense, and as you would hear me calling upon you in my prayers, so give me grace to hear you calling on me in your word, that it may be wisdom, righteousness, reconciliation, and peace to the saving of my soul in the day of the Lord Jesus. Grant that I may hear it with reverence, receive it with meekness, mingle it with faith, and that it may accomplish in me, gracious God, the good work for which you have sent it. Bless my family, kindred, friends, and country. Be our God and guide this day and forever for his sake, who lay down in a grave and arose again for us. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The following account is taken from the History of the Life and Times of James Madison, Volume 2. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of our danger, we had daily prayers in this hall for divine protection. Our prayers were heard, and they were graciously answered. I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial, local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing government by human wisdom, and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. He then moved that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of the city be requested to officiate in this service. This proposition, so becoming in itself and urged with such solemn and impressive effect by its venerable mover, was not acted on from an apprehension that as the conventions had not hitherto opened its daily sessions with religious services, a recurrence to them now would raise uneasiness and alarm in the public mind with regard to the issue of its deliberations, concerning which much disquietude was already felt. Such are the difficulties, not less undoubtedly, in affairs of state than those of private life, of retracing a wrong step when it once has been taken. The following is a continuation of ministerial confessions as recorded in Words to Winners of Souls by Horatius Bonar. We have been cold. Even when diligent, how little warmth and glow. The whole soul is not poured into the duty, and hence it wears too often the repulsive air of routine and form. We do not speak and act like men in earnest. Our words are feeble. Even when sound and true, our looks are careless. Even when our words are weighty and our tones betray the apathy which words and looks disguise. Love is wanting, deep love, love strong as death, love such as made Jeremiah weep in secret places for the pride of Israel, and Paul speak, even weeping, of the enemies of the cross of Christ. In preaching and visiting, in counseling and reproving, what formality, what coldness, a little tenderness and affection. Oh, that I was all heart, said Roland Hill, and soul and spirit to tell the glorious gospel of Christ to perishing multitudes. Number 6, we have been timid. Fear has often led us to smooth down or generalize truths which are broadly stated must have brought hatred and reproach upon us. We have thus often failed to declare to our people the whole counsel of God. We have shrunk from reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. We have feared to alienate friends or to awaken the wrath of enemies. Hence our preaching of the law has been feeble and straitened, and hence our preaching of a free gospel has been yet more vague, uncertain, and timorous. We are greatly deficient in that majestic boldness and nobility of spirit which peculiarly marked Martin Luther, John Calvin, and John Knox, and the mighty men of the Reformation. Of Luther it was said every word was a thunderbolt. Number 6, we have been wanting in solemnity. In reading the lives of John Howe or Richard Baxter, of David Brainerd or Edwards, we are in company with men who in solemnity of deportment and gravity of demeanor were truly of the apostolic school. We feel that these men must have carried weight with them, both in their words and lives. We see also the contrast between ourselves and them in respect of that deep solemnity of air and tone which made men feel they walked with God. How deeply ought we to be abased at our levity, frivolity, flippancy, vain mirth, foolish talking and jesting, by which grievous injury has been done to souls, the progress of the saints retarded and the world countenanced in its wretched vanities. Hear the confession of Jonathan Edwards in regard both to personal and ministerial sins. Often I have had very affecting views of my own sinfulness and vileness, very frequently to such a degree as to hold me in a kind of loud weeping, sometimes for a considerable time together, so that I've often been forced to shut myself up. I have had a vastly greater sense of my own wickedness and the badness of my heart than ever I had before my conversion. My wickedness, as I am in myself, has long appeared to me perfectly ineffable, swallowing up all thought and imagination. I know not how to express better what my sins appear to me to be than by heaping infinite upon infinite, and multiplying infinite by infinite. When I look into my heart and take a view of my wickedness, it looks like an abyss infinitely deeper than hell, and yet it seems to me that my conviction of sin is exceedingly small and faint. It is enough to amaze me that I have no more sense of my sin. I've greatly longed of late for a broken heart and to lie low before God. End quote. Ministerial confessions. We have been carnal and unspiritual. The tone of our life has been low and earthly. The following prayer is taken from a book called Morning and Evening Prayers for All Days of the Week by John Haberman, translated from the German, written in the year 1590. Prayer for a youth or a maiden. Lord, almighty and holy God, who loves a pure heart, a chaste mind, and a holy life, I pray thee, create in me also a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me, so that I may serve thee with sincere faith and true fear, and love thee with all my strength. And keep me from all impure communications. Subdue the evil lust in my heart and extinguish the fires of fleshly desire. Preserve me from unchaste and dissolute associations, from rioting and drunkenness which lead to excess. May all filthiness and foolish talking, unbecoming a Christian, be foreign to my life. Keep me from arrogant pomp or idleness and lounging, from the snares and nets of the devil. Grant that I may serve thee with a pure soul and an undefiled body in true faith, as did pious and chaste Joseph in Egypt. And graciously take me into your safe keeping against all temptations and seductions of life. For the sake of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. Amen. A prayer when going to church. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, because of your great mercy, I will go to your house and worship you in your temple and in your fear. Lord, lead me in the paths of righteousness, and make your way straight before my face. Guide me on the paths of your commandments, for you are my God and the Lord of my salvation. I delight in your sanctuary and rejoice in the congregation of your saints who confess and glorify you. How amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Magnify the Lord our God. Adore at his footstool, for he is holy. I worship you, O God, in the accepted time, through your great mercy. Hear me, according to your grace. Amen. The following prayers are taken from George Washington. These prayers were compiled by Herbert Burke, rector of All Saints Church, Norristown, and minister in charge of the Washington Memorial Chapel at Valley Forge. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we cannot cease, but must cry unto Thee for mercy, because my sins cry unto me for justice. How shall I address myself to You? I must with a publican stand and admire at Your great goodness, tender mercy, and long-suffering towards me, and that you have kept me the past day from being consumed and brought to naught. O Lord, what is man or the Son of Man that you regard him? The more days pass over my head, the more sins and iniquities I heap up against you. If I should cast up the account of my good deeds done this day, how few and small would they be. But if I should reckon my miscarriages, surely they would be many and great. O blessed Father, let your Son's blood wash me from all impurities and cleanse me from the stains of sin that are upon me. Give me grace to lay hold upon his merits, that they may be my reconciliation and atonement to you, that I may know my sins are forgiven by his death and passion. Embrace me in the arms of your mercy. Vouchsafe to receive me into the bosom of your love. Shadow me with your wings, that I may safely rest under your protection this night. And so into your hands I commend myself, both soul and body, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, beseeching thee, when this life shall end, I may take my everlasting rest with thee in thy heavenly kingdom. Bless all in authority over us, but merciful to all those afflicted with any cross or calamity. Bless all my friends, forgive my enemies, and accept of my thanksgiving this evening for all the mercies and favors afforded me. Hear and graciously answer these my requests, and whatever else you see needful, grant us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose blessed name and words I continue to pray, Our Father, and so on. The following prayer by Charles Spurgeon is called Boldness at the Throne of Grace. O God, we would not speak to Thee as from a distance, nor stand like trembling Israel under the law at a distance from the burning mount. For we have not come unto Mount Sinai, but unto Mount Zion, and that is a place for holy joy and thankfulness, and not for terror and bondage. Blessed be thy name, O Lord, we have learned to call thee our Father which art in heaven. So there is reverence, for thou art in heaven, but there is sweet familiarity, for thou art our Father. We would draw very near to thee now, through Jesus Christ, the Mediator, and we would make bold to speak to thee as a man speaks with his friend. For have you not said by your Spirit, Let us come boldly unto the throne of the heavenly grace? We might well start away and flee from your face if we only remembered our sinfulness. Lord, we do remember it with shame and sorrow. We are grieved to think we should have offended thee, should have neglected so long your sweet love and tender mercy. But we have now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. Led by such grace, we look to him whom we crucified, and we have mourned for him and then have mourned for our sin. Now, Lord, we confess our guilt before thee with tenderness of heart, and we pray thee seal home to every believer here that full and free that perfect and irreversible charter of forgiveness which thou gavest all them that put their trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, thou hast said it, if we confess our sins, thou art merciful and just to forgive us our sins and to save us from all unrighteousness. There is a sin confessed. There is a ransom accepted. We therefore know we have peace with God, and we bless that glorious one who has come to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, which righteousness by faith we take unto ourselves, and you imputed to us. Now, Lord, will you be pleased to cause all your children's hearts to dance within them for joy? Oh, help your people to come to Jesus again today. May we be looking to him today as if we did it the first. May we never take off our eyes from his divine person, from his infinite merit, from his finished work, from his living power, or from the expectancy of his speedy coming to judge the world in righteousness and the people with his truth. Bless all your people with some special gift. And if we might make a choice of one, it would be this. Quicken us, O Lord, according to your word. We have life. Give it to us more abundantly. Oh, that we might have so much life that out of the midst of us there might flow rivers of living water. The Lord make us useful. Do, dear Savior, use the very least among us. Take the one talent and let it be put out to interest for the great Father. May it please thee to show each one of us what thou wouldst have us to do. In our families, in our business, in the walks of ordinary life, may we be serving the Lord, and may we often speak a word for his name, and help in some way to scatter the light amongst the ever-growing darkness. And ere we go hence, may we have sown some seed which we shall bring with us on our shoulders in the form of sheaves of blessing. O God, bless our Sunday schools and give a greater interest in such work, that there may be no lack of men and women who shall be glad and happy in the work of teaching the young. Do impress us, we pray thee, upon thy people just now. Move men who have gifts and ability also to preach the gospel. There are many that live in villages, and there is no gospel preaching near them. Lord, set them preaching themselves. Wilt thou move some hearts so powerfully that their tongues cannot be quiet any longer? And may they attempt in some way, either personally or by supporting someone, to bring the gospel into dark, benighted hamlets that the people may know the truth. O Lord, stir up the dwellers in this great, great city. O arouse us to the spiritual destitution of the masses. O God, help us all by some means, by any means, by every means, to get to the ears of men for Christ's sake, that so we may reach their hearts. We would send up an exceeding great and bitter cry to thee on behalf of the millions that enter no place of worship, but rather violate its sanctity and despise its blessed message, Lord. Wake up, London, we beseech thee. Send us another Jonah, send us another John the Baptist. Oh, that the Christ himself would send forth multitudes of laborers amongst the thick-standing corn, for the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh, God, save this city, save this country, save all countries, and let thy kingdom come. May every knee bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our most earnest prayers go up to heaven to thee now for great sinners, for men and women that are polluted and depraved by the filthiest of sins. With sovereign mercy, make a raid amongst them. Come and capture some of these, that they may become great lovers of him that shall forgive them, and may they become great champions for the cross. Look, Lord, upon the multitudes of rich people in this city that know nothing about the gospel and do not wish to know. Oh, that somehow the poor rich might be rich with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, look upon the multitude of the poor and the working classes that think religion to be perfectly unnecessary for them. Do, by some means, we pray, get them to think and bring them to listen, that faith may come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Above all, O Holy Spirit, descend more mightily, Would God thou wouldst flood the land till there should be streams of righteousness. For is there not a promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground? Lord, set thy people praying, stir up the church to greater prayerfulness. Now as thou hast bidden us, we pray for the people among whom we dwell. We pray for those in authority in the land, asking every blessing for the sovereign, and thy guidance and direction to the parliament. A benediction to all judges and rulers is also upon the poorest of the poor and the lowest of the low. Lord, bless your people. Let the people praise you. O God, let all the people praise you for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen and amen. From the prayers and devotions of Edward VI, the son of King Henry VIII, the predecessor to Bloody Mary, who died at the age of 16. A confession of sins. Almighty and most merciful Father, I have erred and strayed from your ways like a lost sheep. I have followed too much to the devices and desires of my own heart. I have offended against your holy laws. I have left undone those things which I ought to have done, and I have done those things which I ought not to have done. And there is no health in me. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon me, a miserable offender. Spare thou me, O God, which confess my faults. Restore thou me, that am penitent, according to your promises, declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that I may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which desires not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and has given power and commandment to your ministers to declare and pronounce to your people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins, and pardon and absolve all them which truly repent and unfeignedly believe your holy gospel. I beseech you to grant me true repentance in your Holy Spirit, that all things may please you, which I do at this present, and that the rest of my life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last I may come to your eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.